Good morning. During the early days of missionary Sam Boyle's work in Japan, he hired a Japanese man teaching English in a local junior high school as translator. He was not a Christian, but agreed to translate Boyle's sermons. Things went well through the first few sermons, but hit a snag when the missionary preached on resurrection. He proclaimed, "And on the third day, Jesus arose from the dead." The translator looked at Boyle and said, "They are never going to believe this." It is not our job to determine who will or who will not respond to the message. We're just to proclaim it. I know, thinking back to preaching as a pastor over the years, that there were a number of times where I preached a message and it felt like it just went to the edge of the pulpit and straight to the floor. That it just was not doing any good at all. It certainly was not a message from the throne of God. But then greeting people at the door as they're leaving the church service, someone say to me, "Pastor, thank you. I needed that. That's exactly what I needed to hear." It's not our job to determine who will and who will not receive the message. It's our job to preach it faithfully, obediently. Get your Bible handy. You want to open it to Ezekiel chapter 37. We're going to look at those first 14 verses there. The scene there that those verses are talking about is that God brought the prophet Ezekiel in a vision out into a valley. And the valley was full of bones. He got to see the entire valley, and there were dry bones everywhere. The thing about dry bones is they indicate that there once was life in them. They're dry, they're dead. But at some time, there was life in those. Many Christians, even whole churches, are like those dry bones, having only a reminder that there was ever any spiritual life in them. Well, let me share with you a few keys to reviving. Revival, if you want to call it revival, renewal, regaining power, getting back that ministry power. Three keys from Ezekiel's visit to that valley of dry bones. First key is you must meet people in their need. Look at verses 1 and 2. "The hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry." Notice a few things about the situation. The people were in the midst of the valley. That's the lowest place that they could go. And there were very many. A lot of people were in that same circumstance. Isn't that the truth? There are a lot of people in the worst place of life. There are a lot of Christians who get themselves, find themselves in the worst place in life. And the condition of those bones was they were very dry. And that root word that's translated dry literally means ashamed. Those bones were in a terrible state with no life in them. Sin can bring Christians to a place of spiritual dryness. In the wilderness, so to speak, far from the Lord. Well, God brought Ezekiel right into the midst of that terrible situation. A very unpleasant place to minister. It's easy to preach to those who come to the church. It's easy to teach those who come to the Bible study. But to go out, that's a different thing. To go out to where the people are, in their lowest place, in their dryness spiritually. The Holy Spirit will bring faithful Christian servants right into a person's place of need. I always like to say to people, particularly new visitors to a church, if there's anything you need, please call. If there's any way that we can give you some help, please call. If there's any way that we can be there, please call. I got a call once from a recent visitor of a church I was pastor of, and I was on my way to bringing my daughter to work, and she said that she had a flat tire on the highway, if I could come and help her out. I told her, my son was with me, I told her, well, I'm taking my daughter to work, and after I drop her off, you can wait, I will come back and help you. And so, she waited, and we got to the place where the car was, and it was in that spot when you're going off the highway on the exit ramp, and there's just that little space there between the highway and the ramp, right there in that little spot where there's practically no room at all on the side of the vehicle where the ramp goes off. There's practically no room in the spot where the highway's going by. And behind is hardly any spot because that's still where the road is splitting. Very dangerous place. No, hardly any room to work. We got the spare tire out, got the jack out, and no jack handle. Huh. Well, what are we going to do? Well, I saw that there was a hole that the jack handle went into, and so I found a long screwdriver in my car, and I was able to put it in there, and I was able to turn it. And I had to get in a position where I was sitting up against the vehicle, almost up against the tire that I'm changing to keep my feet off of the exit ramp. But I was able to turn the jack. But because of the length of the screwdriver, I was only able to turn it a half a turn. And I have to take the screwdriver out, put it on the other side, turn it over, take it out, put it on the other side, turn it over, take it out, put it on the other side, turn it over. And I did that for what seemed like forever. But eventually, got the car up high enough to take the tire off and put on the spare. We got the job done. And that woman, that visitor, she came back to the church and she became a regular attender, then a member, and then became involved, and she became a leader in the church. Now, I don't know if it was because I went out there and helped her on the highway with that flat tire that she kept coming back and became faithful. But I kind of like to think that It may have had something to do with it. We're called to meet people at their point of need, and that's what we did with her. We must meet people in their place of need. The second key to bringing life back and reviving personally in the church, you must trust God beyond the circumstances. Look at verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And so I answered, Oh Lord God, you know. How can these bones live again? Well, the easy answer is, well, they can't. But you see, that answer places a limit on God's power. God's question exposed man's limits. Can these bones live? Well, Ezekiel's answer acknowledged God's power. Oh, Lord God, you know. You see, only God knows the answer to that question. If he does not put life in them, it's certain they cannot live again. And God is very aware of his power. Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 23. And then Jesus said to his disciples, Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, Who then can be saved? And then verse 26, But Jesus looked at them and said to them, With men this is impossible, but with God, all, you hear that? Underline that. All things are possible. Learn to see past the present situation. How can I get past this? We may or may not measure up to the faith of some of the biblical heroes that we read about in the Bible. But that doesn't change the fact that the God who used them can likewise do the same thing for us today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that used Moses, the same God that used Elijah on Mount Carmel, the same God that used Joshua and Daniel and Paul and Peter, the same God can use us and work in and through our lives. When I was in seminary, our home church in Miami was paying for our tuition. And I had enough money to pay for my textbooks. But there came a time about a year and a half into the seminary, and we still had another year and a half left, when I got a letter from the home church, and they said, Well, we've had financial troubles in the church, and we needed to cut back some things, and we're not going to be able to support your seminary education anymore. We won't be able to pay for your tuition. Oh, my. Joanne and I talked about it. We were concerned. It was only weeks before the semester was to start. You have to pay the tuition before you start the semester. And I also had to buy the textbooks, and I didn't have money for the textbooks at that point as well. Things were difficult financially. But we were trusting God. We talked about it. We prayed about it. God clearly told us to go to seminary. That's another whole story. But we knew that God had called us to go to seminary. And if God called us to go to seminary, well, he's going to take care of the needs of that calling. So we prayed, and we knew that we needed to trust God. So we prayed, and a week or so went by. Joanne asked me, Well, have you heard anything? Has God done anything, you know, with regard to tuition, textbooks? No, not yet. Keep praying. It was about a week or so before classes were to begin, and I got a letter in the mail. It was from the Baptist Convention of Florida. It said that We have a fund where we support students in seminary who are from the state of Florida. We're from Miami. And someone gave us your name. And we have decided that we want to grant you the money to pay for your tuition. And we want to pay for this semester and for the rest of your seminary education, which was three more semesters, including the next one. He said, here is a check, and there was a check for $500, which was the fee that we needed to pay. Most of the seminary tuition was paid at the time back then by the Southern Baptist Convention. So a Southern Baptist student at a Southern Baptist seminary only had to pay a matriculation fee of $500. We didn't even have that at that point, raising a family and being in seminary. But there was that check. And then we knew we were going to have it for the next two, or the last two. Well, that was great. Praise God. But what about the textbooks? Had to buy the textbooks. They're expensive. So we prayed about that and waited. And the Sunday before classes was to start, went to church. And as I'm walking to our seat, someone reached out and grabbed my arm. Said, Eric, I'd like to talk to you after the service. So, what's that all about? I don't know. So, after the service, talked to him. He said, God has put it on my heart to support you by paying for your textbooks for the remainder of your seminary education. Wow. He said, you just go to the bookstore on campus, tell the manager my name, and everything will be taken care of. Get your textbooks. Wow. God took care of the tuition. God took care of the textbooks. Learn to see past the circumstances. We need to see past the circumstance and trust God to meet the need, as He promised. He sent us to seminary. He promised to meet our needs. We needed to see past the present situation where the need arose and trust God and wait for Him to take care of it. God is still God. And we can trust Him fully. So we need to meet people in their place of need. We need to trust God beyond the circumstances. And then third, you must declare the truth with confidence. Look at verses 4 through 10. Well, before that, I want to tell you a story before we look at that. When I was working for the computer company as a regional manager, the general manager one day called me in his office, said, hey, Eric, I need a secretary over in this department, I need a slot for that. I don't have one, a personnel slot. So I need you to let somebody go so that I can hire somebody over here. Well, man, that was horrible to me. I mean, I just felt that was immoral to fire somebody, not because of any downturn in the business, not because they deserve to be fired, but simply because I need someone over here, I want to get rid of somebody over there. That just was immoral, in my view. And so, he says, oh, and I need to know who you're going to let go by Friday. This was like on Tuesday. And so, I prayed, talked to Trent about it, we prayed. And I was reminded of Daniel when, in Daniel chapter 1, when he was faced with having to eat all of these foods from the king's delicacies, as it said, that were forbidden by his Jewish dietary laws. And it says in Daniel 1, verse 8, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not eat the king's delicacies. So he came up with a plan to make an appeal to the one who was in charge of him and to give a test to that plan that he was making as an appeal. And so I, after prayer and again some considering, I went back to the boss, general manager, and I let him know how I felt. It was just an immoral thing to just fire somebody just so you can hire somebody else over here. And I suggested that rather take one of the employees from my department and transfer that person to the other department. There's a couple of people who are secretaries or have secretary skills, background. And he said, I don't know about that. No, you need to get rid of somebody. Let me know, again, by Friday. So I kept praying about it, and I had purposed in my heart that I was not going to do what I believed to be an immoral thing. I mean, even if it meant that I was going to have to lose my job, and maybe that was where he was going to get the position, the opening. So, next couple of days, a lot of prayer. And then on Friday, I was coming back from lunch, and I met him in the lobby. He was coming back from lunch, you know, in a different place. We met in the lobby, and he said to me, Eric, I've given some thought to your suggestion, and yeah, I think I will do that. And we'll take the person that you suggested, and praise God. God worked that out. But I had to declare with confidence that I had a problem with that, that I believed it was immoral to do that. And then trust God to, as the previous point, trust God beyond the circumstance. But look at verses 4 through 6. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. He was obedient. What happened? Look at the rest of verse 7, down to verse 10. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Proclaim God's word boldly, expecting a change. Expecting a change. Pray, expecting exactly what you're praying for, what the need is, what you want to happen according to God's will, and then trust that it's going to happen exactly as you pray. God brings a person to conviction. He says, as I prophesied, rattling. God brings a person to conviction. God brings a person to commitment. In verse 10, I prophesied, breath came. Romans chapter 1 verse 16, the power of God's word. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. We need to share Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, every person has gone that same way of rebellion from God into sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's an eternity. Death in all of eternity apart from God in hell. A punishment for our sin. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. Because God loves us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And how did He demonstrate that love? It says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. If we would just express and acknowledge our belief that Jesus died for us and rose from the dead. Romans 10:9-10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness. And we just need to reach out and ask Him to save us. Romans 10:13. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Only God can restore life to dry bones. Only God, the dry bones of the lost sinner in regeneration to new life in Christ, and the dry bones of the saved sinner in revival. Only God can restore life to dry bones. We must meet people in their place of need. We must trust God beyond the circumstances, and we must declare the truth with confidence. And look at verses 11 to 14. And then He said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. God wants to bring revival to His church. He wants to bring it individually to His people and corporately to His church. He wants to bring revival to all of His servants. He wants to bring new life to the lost. Will you be faithful to His work? Will you? Do you yourself first need to be revived in order to be about the work of God's revival? Would you serve the Lord in His revival process of dry bones? Would you? Will you pray with me? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the vision that You gave to Ezekiel of how dry, dead bones can regain life and be mighty, a mighty army for Your work, a mighty army for Your kingdom. Father, thank You that we have this encouraging word. And Father, I just pray that everyone listening, everyone watching, would be convicted about their own spiritual dryness and need to be revived, and will respond to Your word, and will respond to Your Spirit's work within them. And Father, I just pray that just in every way You would be glorified and that Your kingdom work would be done, would be accomplished through your people by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just place this all before you in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, you have a great day.